I just want things to go back to normal more than anyone. But we can't pretend that it's going to go back to normal if I just, like, trying to make that exist. That's not how it happened.
Layla Galarza is a student at Michigan State University. She's only really known a few months of college in a pre-pandemic world. And like a lot of her peers, she's feeling a bit of anxiety about what this new normal looks like.
I think, like, some students are excited for sure, but I know a lot are, like, nervous about being back in the classroom, and I think people just want to know what, like, the universe is thinking and having kind of that transparency.
So, are they getting it? Today, we're going to dig into what the state is reporting about the latest spike of COVID cases in public schools and how to interpret the numbers. This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. As data reporter for Michigan Radio, our colleague Nisa Khan has the slightly tedious job of sifting through the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services coronavirus outbreak data. It can get pretty detailed, down to individual schools and colleges. And it's important here to understand what the state defines as an outbreak. It's a little different than the number of cases that you find at each school.
It's when two or more COVID cases are from different households that are linked to the shared exposure in a school. So MDHHS gets these reports mostly from county health departments. Outbreaks do not include people who are, like, exposed to COVID outside of a school and are not thought to have spread the disease in the school. So you might have heard of, like, a positive case at your school, but it's not on the outbreak dashboard that's posted on the website. So it might have been two cases or more that haven't been connected. So, for example, at MSU, it reported, like, a lot of cases from last week, but Ingham County kind of told me Monday that it's not aware of an outbreak on campus yet.
Got it. So what does the state data say this week about K-12 schools?
Right. So there are 71 new outbreaks among K-12 schools this week, and there are over 300 individual cases involved with these outbreaks, and many of them are from high schools. The biggest one is, like, 21 cases out South Christian High School in West Michigan, but Jackson County has the most new cases in their outbreaks. And there are, like, nearly 40 ongoing outbreaks in schools in the state in the past, like, 28 days, kind of like a month. So it's a jump from the number of outbreaks from this week over the last week. But it's also important to know that we had a lot more kids going back to school last week. And for those who are curious, childcare places saw around 9 new outbreaks.
So it's pretty early in the school year at this point, but has the state made any comment about how they think this is going?
Yeah, so they release, like, the slide deck every week, kind of giving us, like, kind of like the rundown of their analysis. So this MDHHS kind of in pair with, like, their statisticians, they did this analysis and they found out that, like, more kids, like, kind of in general are getting sick with COVID. For example, and I hope that this makes sense, it's like kids under 9 are making up more of last month's cases than it has, like, the entire pandemic. They said it's almost double. And for 10 to 19-year-olds, they're also seeing larger average daily cases compared to older age groups in Michigan. And they had one of the largest, like, one-week jumps up out of any age group. There's this one stat that was, like, in fact, like, during the school reopening period, which is, like, August 18th to September 8th, it was, like, a 96% increase in that 7-day new case average among 12 to 18-year-olds. Yeah, so those were some of the things that sort of kind of really stood out to me. And I got to talk about K-12 cases specifically with Mr. Eisenberg. She's an epidemiologist at the University of Michigan.
You know, it's important for kids to be able to go back to school, but it's also, we want to make that as safe as we possibly can, right? And so I do think that the increases in transmission that we've been seeing are very, you know, the number of outbreaks, the increases in cases among the 0 to 18 age groups, you know, those are worrying trends.
So that does put it in perspective a little bit. Nisa, what about masking in schools? Has the state had anything to say about that yet?
Yes. So the state, in this kind of, like, slide deck, they found that case rates are higher among children in counties where school districts are not masking. They say that around 60% of Michigan's K-12 students are attending schools that require masking. And we have had, like, last year, a mask mandate. So that's just something important to keep in mind. But it's also another thing important to keep in mind is that this is, like, a correlation to two, but it's not yet, like, a causation. So it's like, this is just, like, what we have been seeing in school districts, and this is the thing, but there could be other factors. So that's kind of, like, one of the caveats to keep in mind when you're when discussing like kind of maskings in schools so far. Yeah.
And what about colleges? I see that there's an ongoing outbreak at the University of Michigan with about 300 cases.
Yeah, like a little over 280 cases. There are 4 new outbreaks associated with colleges and universities, and there are 5 ongoing outbreaks. And U of M is seeing kind of a lot of the ongoing ones. I think one thing with U of M and colleges, U of M is a very big school. I think it's our second most populated school. And U of M does have its weekly Friday COVID updates. And their epidemiologist, Emily Martin, talked about it. She said, like, there was a big increase last week from their Friday corresponding to, like, the big influx of people coming to the campus. And they said that wasn't unexpected. They're continuing to monitor the situation to see if it steadies or continues to go up. And she said so far their numbers have been steadying with last week. So their test positivity rate is still, like, below, like, that high point that they saw, like, last winter. But I think, yeah, that's just something to keep in mind when it comes to, like, U of M.
So it sounds like we shouldn't expect any new mask mandates for Saturday's big football games at University of Michigan and elsewhere.
Yeah, so U of M's president, Mark Schlissel, addressed this concern during a coronavirus update on Friday.
Our students and faculty and staff that I feel most responsible for are very highly vaccinated. We know outdoor events to be much safer than indoor events. But we are recommending people, if you're concerned about risk, you know, wear a mask when you're in the big house.
There you have it.
Yeah, I did get to reach out to MDHHS about this. I was kind of curious. And through a spokesperson, they say, like, Dr. Janae Khaldun, through a spokesperson, recommended that people follow CDC guidelines. And those guidelines they described to me were, as long as you live in areas with high number of cases, you should consider wearing a mask in crowded outdoor areas when you're going to be in contact with people who may not be vaccinated. And when we have talked about, like, high number of cases, so the CDC has that big map. Washington County is still marked as a high transmission area by the CDC. So, you know, maybe wear a mask when you're at the big house on Saturday, even though you're outdoors and even if you're vaccinated, because it can be close contact. So, like, that's, like, one thing to keep in mind.
It's time for a short break. Coming up, Republicans in the state legislature, many of whom represent angry parents who'd rather not have their kids wearing masks, are pushing legislation to ban mask mandates in the state. Stick around.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all 3 campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Did you see this video that went viral last week of parents pushing for their unmasked teens to be allowed into their Manchester High School where masks are mandated?
Anybody that's going to go in, they got to have a mask on.
There is no policy.
I'm not arguing.
Okay, they can go in, guys.
They can go in.
They can go in. Go on in, guys.
Go in.
They can't enforce it.
And then just a couple days later, more than 70 teenagers walked out of their high school building in Gaylord in protest of that school's mask mandates. Now, Michigan State Senate is pushing through a ban on mask mandates, one that has an uncertain future even if the legislature approves it. Joining us now is State Senator Ara Geis, representing Taylor. She is a Democrat but has been involved in debates on the floor about this. Senator Geis, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you, April. It's great to be here.
So we know that Governor Gretchen Whitmer would be sure to veto any kind of ban on mask mandates. She has basically said that it's important for local jurisdictions to make their own local decisions about this. What can you tell us that might inform this debate that's going on in the legislature right now with legislative Republicans trying to go for it anyway?
You know, that is a good question. I think that right now it's coming from believing a lot of misinformation and a lot of disinformation. There is also the general public frustration with us still being in the pandemic. And I understand and appreciate that. However, we do still need to be taking certain mitigation strategies while we're still in the middle of a pandemic where we have variants. So having masks in school is one part of those mitigation steps. And it's unfortunate that that is something that my Republican colleagues are rallying around rather than trying to stem. It's a very loud but small group of people who are still angry about needing to wear masks in certain spaces.
Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on in your district?
So my district is in Wayne County, and I have a good portion of Downriver and Western Wayne County. And August 27th, Wayne County Health Department issued a mask mandate for daycares all the way up through 12th grade. And, you know, when I take my eldest is a sophomore in high school, and when I drop him off in the morning, the students are wearing their masks. And even when I've taken him to driver's ed, the students are wearing their masks. The students are behaving with more responsibility than some of the adults in our state right now.
You say you think that state senators themselves do believe the disinformation around public health and COVID, that it's not just politics?
I think it's a combination of both. You know, they're speaking to their base. So when you look at the senators who are the primary sponsors of Senate Bill 600 through 603, which is what we were hearing yesterday in committee, in education committee, they're all folks who have been very vocal throughout the pandemic about being against the governor's mandates, the governor's and the Department of Health's statements about protecting public health. And I think one of the things that is most interesting of this situation is that a year ago, when we were looking at what the return to in-person instruction would look like, we left it up to the school districts and local health departments, and allowing the people who are from that community, who know their community, to be able to make the best decisions for their community. And now, a year later, they're trying to prevent them from doing some of the most basic mitigation processes for protecting the community against COVID.
There are Republican representatives in Lansing who represent districts with a lot of angry parents in them, who say that they don't want their kids having to wear masks in school. Is there something to the argument that they're representing their constituency, even if it's not following public health guidelines and the best medical recommendations we have?
That is always part of the process of serving a community that is diverse. And when I say that, I mean diverse in ideas, I diverse in opinions. However, we are at a point where this is a wide public health issue. And when we're talking about making sure that we're protecting the most vulnerable of people, we have to take those concerns into consideration, but we also need to be doing what is best for the most vulnerable in those spaces. And it is a delicate dance when you have divergent opinions and you're trying to represent your entire community. But this is about public health. This isn't just about ideological differences or political differences. Full stop, it should be about protecting public health for our communities.
Given that there is dissent at the local level and a really a high degree of pressure on our public health departments and our school boards and our superintendents in some cases, do you think it's fair to leave the mask mandates at the local level? Would it be better if there were that statewide mask mandate in place?
You know, I think it would really depend on how the virus, the Delta variant in particular, is affecting our hospitals, is affecting the community, how quickly and how far spread, how widespread, I should say, the variant is spreading. I think right now, strongly urging the local health departments and the school districts is where we need to be. I hope that we don't get to a point where the Delta variant has become so widespread that we end up needing to issue a statewide mask mandate. I think that in our schools, though, especially given that our elementary kids cannot get vaccinated at all yet, that it's necessary to have the departments of health, the local departments of health, and the school boards make those decisions to have masks in school.
We have seen some pushback from students on mask mandates at high schools in places like Manchester and Gaylord that I mentioned a few moments ago. You know, it strikes me that teenagers have a bit more personal agency than elementary school kids. It's also a fact that teenagers are not known for making the smartest, safest choices for themselves at all time. What do you think the best way is for officials, but also maybe teachers and parents, to communicate with these kids about the importance of masking if that messaging isn't coming at them from home?
Well, I think all of us, and I'm saying this too as a former educator, all of us adults in their lives, one of our jobs is to help them get to adulthood and be responsible. And all of us know that adulting is, sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do, but that you need to do. This is one of those cases where you don't want to do it. It's a pain, but it's something that you have to do for the benefit and the good of not just yourself, but everyone.
Yeah. I just wonder what you make of kids walking out. Is this something where you think the wisest course forward would be an official public response, or is this something best handled more informally by maybe teachers and principals who can handle this on their own?
I would say regarding the kids walking out, that should be handled at the policy decision-making level of the school or the school district. You know, I don't think anything drastic should happen to them. And I think it is a very important teachable moment. You know, yes, as young adults, they have a certain amount of autonomy. But, you know, to go back to this point of sometimes we as adults have to do things that we don't want to do, but it's the correct thing to do.
Yeah. It seems like it might be a lot to ask kids to go against the wishes of their parents, even if masks are mandated in school. It seems an unenviable situation for everyone involved.
Yeah. Yeah. It is not an ideal situation, but I guess the question is, you know, where is this coming from that something as simple as wearing a mask has become such a point of contention, especially when the reason for wearing a mask is one of public health.
And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside shows at michiganradio.org. Our executive producer's Laura Weber-Davis. Today's pod was produced by April Van Buren with help from Mercedes Mejia and Aaron Allen. Our theme music is by 14KT, additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.